You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
This is The Rock, Bill Latz. Welcome to the Newsmakers. I caught up with Hall of Famer Tim Raines and Blue Jays play-by-play voice, Buck Martinez. Both of them have dynamic roles with Toronto, and I had the chance to talk to them about it. Take a listen. Man, it's an honor. I have on the phone Hall of Famer Tim Raines. Tim Raines, thank you so much for being with me.
Well, thanks for having me.
Has it hit you yet that you're a Hall of Famer?
I'm still thinking about it. You know, actually, over the past 2 or 3 years were the years that I really felt like the chances was getting greater. Actually, up until last year, you know, I got up to close to 70% with another year left. I felt like my chances would be much greater than it had been in the past, and I was looking forward to this year. I was able to get in.
How much has social media helped you get in the Hall of Fame? I mean, there was a lot of people on social media who was trying to bring up the point that you belong in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I feel like it played a really, really big role. You know, I think, and this just started happening over the past, I would say, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not a social media type of guy, but, you know, I felt like, you know, being a part of it will enhance my chances. I think, you know, a lot of people didn't really know, mm-hmm. you know, Tim Raines. I mean, unless you lived on the East Coast, you followed some baseball in Canada, you would really got a chance to get to know the type of player that Tim Raines was. I mean, I think I didn't leave Montreal until 91.
Right.
I went to Chicago and New York and Oakland. And, you know, that was towards the tail end of my career. So they got to see the tail end. They didn't really get to see, you know, the first 11. So I think social media and you know, a lot of the things that I did that a lot of people didn't really know. And as a matter of fact, I didn't know that much myself. but it really played a big role.
Do you think you were overshadowed by Ricky Henderson?
I would say overshadowed. I think Ricky was a great player. I mean, he deserved to get the accolades that he got, and definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. I didn't really see myself that way. I mean, I think a lot of people looked at us as, you know, he in the American League, me in the National League. But as you know, you know, there's two different leagues.
I mean,
you know, at the time, the American League was more of an offensive league, and the National League was more of a defensive pitching league. So, you know, I hear the comparisons, but I felt we were two totally different types of players.
Have you decided who's going to do your introduction speech for the Hall of Fame? Have you decided?
Well, the hall decided for me. Mm-hmm. I think someone from the Hall of Fame is going to introduce me. If I had a choice, I know who it would be. It would be Andre Dawson.
Right.
But I don't get to choose.
Right. Okay. Wow. Okay. You know, people don't know this, but you work for the Blue Jays, and tell me what you do for the Blue Jays, and what do you like about it?
Again, I'm back in Canada. I mean, this is the only team in Canada that I'm a part of. And I'm a base running outfield coordinator and player development. I work with all the minor league players in the system that plays outfield and that are considered base running threats. And that's what I do. I travel throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. And I go from team to team. As a matter of fact, we have, I think, 8 affiliates from AAA. We have 2-3 rookie affiliates. And also, I travel to the Dominican Republic and work with our Dominican team as well.
Wow. Any minor leaguer in the Blue Jays that you like a lot?
Well, I like a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Pompey. It's probably the first one on the list, and he's had some major league time already. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking forward to him to kind of just getting over that hump. terrific speed. You know, not a great arm, but an effective arm in the outfield. Plays a pretty good outfield, and I think the difference for him is being able to hit at the major league level, and I think that's the one thing that he has been working on over the past couple of years, being up and down, and hopefully this year he get over that hump and be a big part of the major league team this year. We got a first baseman, Robbie Tellez, a young kid. He's like 21. Mm-hmm. Played in Double-A last year, led our organization in home runs. He has worked his butt off. I mean, we brought him in. We wasn't sure if he could play first base, and he's proven that put in the hard work to become a better defender, and he's a left-handed power hitter. He's probably the best power we have in the organization. And there's a few other guys. Anthony Alford, great athlete, played some college football, and, you know, he decided to start playing baseball alone, and he doesn't have a lot of baseball
acumen.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't played a lot of baseball, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's come around. He ended up played high A ball last year and probably ended up starting Double-A this year. We're hoping that he can put some things together and be a part of that big league team this year. So mm-hmm. there's a few guys. I'm not just talking about the players. I'm not talking about there's a few pitchers that have a chance to get there too as well. But right. Those guys, I think their upside is major league mm-hmm. proof, and hopefully they can get over those humps and be a part of a major league team this year.
Would you like to get back on the big league level? And I know you helped the 2005 White Sox win the World Series. Would you like to get back there?
Well, I think that's something that I've been looking for over the past few years. There just hadn't been any room up there mm-hmm. Over the past few. So something I'm striving for, and hopefully over the next few years, I can get that opportunity again.
That's good. What about the highlight of your career, Tim? What would you say was the highlight?
Well, I can mention a few things. You know, I would say the first with the two World Championships with the Yankees, and then, you know, getting the opportunity to play with my son in Baltimore mm-hmm. Was definitely a highlight. You know, making the major leagues and being an all-star my rookie season. And, you know, being able to be an all-star for seven straight years. Mm-hmm. Winning an all-star MVP. And, you know, there's a few other things that I think of. You know, coming back, missing spring training, missing the first month of the season.
Right.
And probably having my best year of my career after doing that. So, you know, going – you know, there's probably a few other games I can think of, but I mean, just thinking about, you know, 23 years, there's a lot of things that can come to mind.
No doubt. I mean, let's go back to 87 a minute. You know, you were a free agent and you didn't sign until May 1st. And I'm just wondering, are you surprised in retrospect how amazing the season you had? I mean, you hit over 330 that year, and that was amazing.
Well, it was very surprising. I mean, you know, it was – the surprising part was, you know, missing the first month and missing spring training and not being able to work out at the major league level until the first game I played. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how I was going to hold out early, but the first game kind of put me on track and kind of got me going for the rest of that season. Mm-hmm. I remember having – you know, 18 home runs with a month left and trying to hit two and couldn't hit two.
Right.
But it was an amazing season, an amazing stat-wise. I kind of wished I would have been able to play a full season and maybe had a week or two in spring training, but that didn't happen. But it was a quite interesting season. I think I had a little bit to prove to all the teams that didn't offer, and you know, again, it was part of collusion, so no one really was going to give me an opportunity to really be a free agent. But I just felt like even though I wanted to stay in Montreal, mm-hmm. I just wanted to get market value. Right. And, you know, that really didn't happen. But I think, you know, being able to stay in Montreal and play up to the 80s, to the 90s, was what I really was looking for in the first place.
My final question, you know, what's so strange is that after you were drafted, you were called the next Joe Morgan. And obviously you did not become the next Joe Morgan. You became an outfielder. How did you feel when they said you were the next Joe Morgan?
Well, actually, Joe was my idol. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe was the guy who pretty much the reason why I became a baseball player. You know, I felt like coming out of high school, I was touted more as a football player than I was a baseball player. And when I saw Morgan having the years that he was having, you know, one MVP, I think, back-to-back,
right.
I realized we were the same size and stature. He's a left-handed hitter. I was a switch hitter. I felt like he had a little more power, but, you know, he had the speed. He played second base. I played second. And he was a guy that I was trying to pattern myself after. And when I first got to the big leagues, as a 19-year-old kid, I got a chance to see him and play against him. It was probably another one. There was another big moment in my career, being able to meet the guy that I felt like was the reason why I became a baseball player.
Wow. Well, Tim Raines, congratulations. Enjoy the summer. You deserve to be a Hall of Famer, and I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Thanks again.
You got it. Take care. On the phone, I have Buck Martinez, the play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays. Buck, thank you so much for being with me.
Good to be with you. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for being here. Buck, I want to start off by talking about Jose Bautista. How good is it to get him back?
I think it's tremendous. You know what? He obviously had high expectations for his free agency, given the first time he was a free agent. And, you know, it was a little disappointing market for him. But at the same time, he ended up with a contract better than the qualifying offer that was extended to him last offseason. So, you know, I think it's a good fit for both Jose and for the ball club. You know, he obviously has been a star for a long time in Toronto. Mm-hmm. The community loves him. He fits in very well to the city and the country. And I think he's a very valuable bat. It's probably poised to have a bounce-back season after an injury plagued 2016.
Now, he's 36 years old, obviously. And how much game does he have left?
He's got quite a bit of game left. And as you know, he's a very proud man. We've seen that on display over the last several seasons. And he's intense. I saw him yesterday here in Dunedin, and he was working out, looks great shape. You know, he had two freakish injuries last year. Mm-hmm. He jammed his toe into the fence in Philadelphia, and that put him on a DL early this season. And later on, he caught his spikes on the turf and hurt his knees. So he had two kind of freakish injuries last year, not really related to age and wear and tear, but just kind of injuries that just jumped out at him. So I'm pretty confident that his offseason has been very productive as far as getting his body ready for the season. And I think he's out to prove everybody wrong that he's still a very valuable player, even at an advanced age of 36.
You know, what's so interesting, the Blue Jays on paper, they're still a good team. I like their pitching staff. I like who they have on the field. But I got to tell you, I think they're going to miss Juan Encarnacion, and because that guy provided RBIs, power. How much do you think they're going to miss him?
Well, there's no question. Edwin's one of the best hitters in baseball, and it was a tough loss for sure because, you know, he's a premier RBI guy, big home run hitter, and it will be a tough loss. But at the same time, you mentioned the great pitching staff. You know, the Blue Jays might have to win games in a different fashion than they've had over the last several years with Edwin and Jose in the lineup together. But, you know, now they just have Jose, and, you know, they made some good additions with Kendrys Morales. Morales, everybody knows he's not Edwin Encarnacion, but I think given the fact that he's going to play for the first time in a hitter-friendly ballpark at Rogers Center, I think it's a good addition. And, you know, like you said, the Blue Jays have a fine pitching staff, and I think everybody's pretty optimistic about their chances.
What's the one thing that intrigues you about the Blue Jays in 2017?
The depth of their starting pitching. They were the best starting staff in the American League last year. And they've got Sanchez at the top. Stroman's very young at 25. And, you know what, this is a young core. You know, Happ, of course, is a little bit advanced, but he won 20 games last year. And Marco Estrada's been a terrific pitcher in his last two seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think having Francisco Liriano in the rotation for a full season is going to be a real bonus. I think he's very comfortable in Toronto. He's had flashes of brilliance pitching in a Blue Jays uniform. And I think he's anxious to have a full season as a starter for the Blue Jays. And, you know, the Blue Jays were very fortunate last year. They only utilized six starters all season long, which is unheard of in this day and age. Mm-hmm. But they do a great job of taking care of their pitchers and keeping them healthy. And, you know, what, I would be surprised if they had that few starters again this year. But at the same time, they've got some very capable starters in their five-man rotation.
You know, Marco Estrada, that's another name. I covered him in Washington. He kind of struggled in Milwaukee, but he really turned it around in Toronto. What turned it around for him?
I think more than anything, he just reached a point where he had confidence. He's on a good ball club. He knows he doesn't have to be perfect. But, you know, Marco does something that not a lot of pitchers do nowadays, and that's pitch.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't break 90 very often. He has a four-seam fastball he utilizes up in the zone. He has maybe the best changeup in baseball, and he'll use it almost 30% of the time. But Marco understands when to be aggressive, when to back off. Marco will tell you that he learned an awful lot watching Mark Burley two seasons ago and learned how just to be convicted and convincing to pitch every pitch the same. Don't second-guess your thoughts once you make up your mind and hit your spots and work quickly and things will happen. And for the last two seasons, Marco's been the toughest pitcher to hit in American League.
Right. Wow. What do you want to see the Blue Jays improve on compared to last year?
Win five more games.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing. You know, they've been knocking on the door. I can't say they knocked them off and then Cleveland last year. But I think more than anything, I think what we saw in the World Series with the Cubs and the Indians, I think we saw a younger game, more athletic in the game, speed, defense, pitching. And I think Blue Jays need to back off their power a little bit and focus more on utilizing that great pitching and win the tough ball games. They didn't win many one-run games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to have to improve if they hope to win in the East. You know, the East is a meat grinder. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows how Boston's improved their team from a year ago, and they won the division a year ago. So, you know, you can't discount what the Yankees are going to do. Baltimore's always there and always tough on the Blue Jays. And Tampa Bay,
right. They
play the Blue Jays tougher than anybody in the division. So, and they're going to have to change a few things, win a few more one-run games, and I think that will bode well for them as they hope to win this East Division.
And let's talk about Josh Donaldson. This guy has been spectacular since he became a member of the Blue Jays. Talk about watching him on a daily basis.
Yeah, he certainly comes to the ballpark ready to play every single day. And you know what, he does some unorthodox things. He's got a very exaggerated leg kick. But as far as a student of hitting, he's as advanced as anybody I've ever been around. He understands what pitchers are trying to do to him. And if you remember back to the postseason, as long as the Blue Jays were in the postseason, he was their key offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rough September. I think he was trying to hit 40 home runs and reach that 100 RBI plateau, and he fell a little bit short. But I think what Josh did in October in the postseason, he made the adjustment. He had great at-bats. He got big hits, and I think it shows that he's capable. You know, I think if Josh took that approach that he had in the postseason, he could be a 300 hitter and still hit for power.
Right.
And he's a terrific athlete, great defender at third, and everybody remembers how he scored the winning run against Texas to clinch up the division series by just running with his head up, and he always does that. He's a terrific all-around player that, you know, I expect we'll see him putting up MVP numbers again this year.
I want to talk about Gibbons, the manager. So far, so good his second time around. What do you like about him?
Well, Gibby lets his players play. And you know what? It's not unlike what Cito Gaston did when Cito was managing the World Series teams in 92 and 93. When you have good players, you kind of go and get out of their way and let them do their own thing. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of managers, you know, they have a tendency to think that you know, you can rule by an iron fist. But these ball players are sophisticated. When you have an older veteran team like the Blue Jays, you know, they know how to win. They know what to do. And I think John allows them to be themselves. He doesn't have many rules. He doesn't have, you know, a lot of demands. He just wants the guys to play. Give him a good effort, and he'll be very pleased. And I think he's done a marvelous job with this team in his second go-around. And you ask the players, I think they'll tell you that Gilly does a great job of allowing them to utilize their skills to win games. And he's got a fine coaching staff with him. He's got guys that he can lean on. Pete Walker, the pitching coach, tomorrow, Hale, the bench coach, is a terrific, the most terrific lieutenants for Gillings, and I think John's in a good spot.
You are a guy who plays for the Blue Jays, and you know what it's like in Canada. If the Blue Jays won the World Series, what it would mean to Canada?
Well, I think we saw that in 92 and 93 when the Canadians really got behind the Blue Jays, and they were proud that the Blue Jays finally won a World Series. And last year, the Jays led the league in attendance once again. They averaged over 40,000 a game. It's a young crowd in Toronto. Rogers Centre has done some nice renovations to open up the stadium and make it more fan-friendly. And because of that, we have a fan base of 18 to 35 that's terrific. Mm-hmm. They come out and support the team. They come out and they party at Rogers Centre. They have a good time. And they've got a good team to root for. I think when you look at the personalities of Russell Martin, Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Kevin Pillar, Stroman, Sanchez, Osuna, there are a lot of guys that fans can relate to, and they like their enthusiasm. And I certainly don't want to forget what Jason Grilley brought to this team when he came over in May.
Right.
Because he certainly solidified the bullpen, and he brought that enthusiasm that really supercharged the atmosphere at Rogers Center. And I think Jason Grilley has a lot to do with that midseason turnaround at the bullpen.
As the play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays, how much do you enjoy covering the Blue Jays?
Yeah, you know, I'm very fortunate. This will be my 51st year in baseball, and to be around baseball every day and see these great athletes, it's an honor and a privilege. And you know, I get to work in a place where we have a roof. The April and May months aren't very, very bad and harsh for us. And we got a good team and a great fan base. So it's a real pleasure to see these guys play every day. And I'm blessed and I understand that. But I really enjoy going to work every day. And that's all you can ask.
Buck Martinez, listen, thank you so much. And you have a great season.
All right. Good to talk to you. We'll talk again, I'm sure.
You got it. Take care.